Well, before we begin, I'm wearing the white robe that represents, I just dropped my bulletin, represents the righteousness of Christ. I didn't earn it, buy it, or pay for it, or deserve it. He gave it to me, and I received it by faith. And so when we come together and we make our beginning, it's in the name of the God who loved us enough to cross the universe and find us and make us His own again. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, and by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart the highways of Zion. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for itself, where she may lay her young. Praise, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are always of Zion. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Thank you. Let's pray. O God, whose glory is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus 17, 1-7, and this is bringing water from the rock. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the quarreling of the people of Israel, because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The epistles from Romans 5, first 8 verses. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Shall we rise?
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Sychar, Samaria, named Sychar, near the field that Jacob has given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, weary as he was from the journey, was sitting beside the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which means about high noon. Let me just kind of paint this story for you. This is a lady who grew up in a little town. There are some people say there's a little town close there, and they say, "Well, that couldn't be the town because there's a spring there." And I think, yeah, there's a spring there. That's exactly the point. But she didn't go to spring in town. At high noon, when nobody else was out there, she would go out to Jacob's well because she was looking for some answers to life hadn't gone well for her. There came a Samaritan woman to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it you, a Jew, ask for a drink, me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. As a matter of fact, if they'd already eaten off a plate, if you're a good Jew, you wouldn't eat off the plate. That's the kind of disrespect they had towards the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." You all know the word bio, right? Biology, physical kind of thing. Well, he offered her Zoe, living water. Now, we're not talking about biological water now anymore. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" She's a believer. "He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Let me read that again. "Will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here and draw water. Jesus said to her, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I don't have a husband. And when Jesus says these next words, I want you to think of him as having compassion and love and perhaps even a tear in his eye as he says to her, you're right in saying, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. Now, that may not have been an immoral situation. In those days, a relative would sometimes take a widow or a woman by herself in. He was called their redeemer kinsman. We don't know who he was or what the situation was. But he says, what you've said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, if he's a prophet and he's speaking from God, you've had five husbands, five train wrecks in your life, I would think that would be the question on your heart, right? She says, I see that you're a prophet. But she says instead, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. She had lived with this discrimination against the Samaritans, this hatred towards the Samaritan by the Jews. Same God, God of Jacob. But she was second class. That's the cry of her heart. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. A woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, the one called Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things. He's going to explain everything. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Let me finish the story, because the most important part is yet to come. She goes running off to town. She leaves her pot there. She's coming back, right? And the disciples asked Jesus to come get something to eat, because they come back with some food. He says, I have food you don't know anything about. They said, did somebody bring him some food? And he says, no. My food is to do the will of my Father and finish what he sent me to do. And then he says, you know, you say you got 4 months until harvest time. I tell you, look to the harvest. It's ripe. And even now, the harvester is reaping a harvest towards eternal life. Meantime, the woman goes to town. She says, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, if she was an immoral woman, how many men in town are going to follow her out to meet a man who told her everything she did that was immoral? This lady had gone out every noon and back. They had seen her marry and lose that husband. However, I don't know. They saw her get up again and lose a second time and get up again and the third time and get up again. And somewhere along here, she started this journey out to the Jacob's well. There she goes again, trying to find some answers from God out of Jacob's well. This time she came back, and she had earned the right to speak. And so she said to a city, come see a man who's been with me all of my life. And the town empties out. And it says later on, it says, now we just don't believe because what you said, we've heard for ourselves, and we believe this is the Son of God. They confess the truth. This is the first woman that Jesus introduces in the Bible. This is the first woman that he introduces himself to, the first person in the universe that he says, I am the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be, O Christ. Let's join together in the Apostles' Creed, which is a statement of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. When a woman was in town, by the way, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you know, you reap where you haven't sown. Others have done the hard work, and you've reaped from the benefit of their labors. Now, in that story, who did the hard work? The woman. She'd done the hard work. She'd earned the right to speak to a whole city. And the whole city started emptying out. And they asked him to stay. He stayed with them 2 more days. And that's when they said, you know, now we don't just believe because of what you said. We've heard for ourselves, and we believe this is the Son of God. Yeah. That's an incredible story. And I suspect for some of us here, we have, whether you've thought about it or not, you've earned the right to speak to some people in your lives. You've had times that have been difficult. And by the grace of God, you got up again. Other things happen, and whether you know it or not, people see that and watch that. And God wants to prepare you to have a witness to your city, whoever that may be, witness to people around you. The subject of the message today is baptism. We already had water from the rock this morning. I love that. I love that story of the woman at the well. Let me read to you a verse from Romans. This is Romans 9. And in verses, where do we start here? 16. It doesn't depend on a man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. It doesn't depend upon a man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Years ago, probably told this story here before because it's one of mine, kind of anchors my head. Had a young lady in California who was a golf pro at a very expensive, very reputable golf place, golf course. I'd known her as a young girl growing up. Went to college and got in with a golfing community, and the women's PGA is pretty well influenced by gay people, and she got caught up in that lifestyle. She developed cancer at a very young age, and it was cancer an athlete doesn't usually get. And so when I found out about it, I flew out to California and spent some time with her. And the cancer looked like it was, they were killing it with it, but then it occurred again. They said, no, this time she wasn't going to make it. So I went out to California, spent some time with her. And at one point she said, Pastor Ken, how will I know I'm going to go to heaven? And I still have the sheet of paper I had, took a yellow sheet of paper, and I drew a line down the middle, and I put a P over here for Piper, and an H over here for heaven. I said, so your question is, how does Piper get to heaven? And she said, yeah. I said, what would you say if I told you you can't get there? She looked a little bit puzzled, and I said, but what would you think if I told you that God has come from here to here to do all you need to do for him to take you here? And she got that. It's not about our grace or effort. It's about what God has done to cross the universe to find you. He crossed the universe to find Amanda and Brody. All of us here. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We can't figure it out on our own. There's a verse from 1 Peter. Let me get there. 1 Peter chapter 1. First several verses here are just beautiful. Listen to what it says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything comes through the resurrection. If you're going to get anything from God, it's going to come through the resurrection. And into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the last time. God's able to come here and do what needs to be done to take us there and to keep us safe until that day. Chapter 3 of Peter, it says this. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body and made alive in the spirit, through whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when they waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. I don't understand what that means. But it's about Noah and the ark, right? It can, and in it, only a few people were saved. 8 in all were saved through the water. And this water symbolizes baptism. They were kept safe through the water. In fact, they didn't get wet. They didn't get immersed. They were brought safely through the water. The water did not destroy them. The water held them, kept them safe. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not by the removal of dirt from the body, but of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers in submission to Him. Let me demonstrate something I think will give you at least a visual picture of something that's really important. Here's God. I want you to hold your hand up. Here's God up here, right? Here's Jesus. And he said, all authority is mine in heaven and in earth, right? And here's the devil. He's defeated. Can you say he's defeated? And I say that because a lot of Christians think, here's God and here's the devil. And I'm somewhere in the middle getting beat up. In other words, and some people think there's going to be a final war. They're going to duke it out and see who wins. But we know God wins. No, that isn't it at all. Jesus said, all authority is mine in heaven and on earth. We live with an enemy that prowls around like a lion, finding somebody he can gum to death because his teeth are pulled. He has no power. Unless you believe him. So when he roars and you run, you don't need to. All authority, Jesus said, is mine in heaven and on earth. And he is a defeated enemy. So this is what it says in James. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is our authority. Ephesians 2:6. We have been raised up and seated with him in the heavenly realm. And there's a misperception that we have created over the years. You still got your bulletin? Turn to the confession, which is somewhere back here. If I can find it. Yeah. On top of the page there. I, a poor, miserable sinner. I, a what? Poor, miserable sinner. You know, it's not that we don't sin. We do. I do. It says when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. The issue, though, is that that wording has taught us to think of who we are rather than when Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he is a... Anybody know what it says? New creation. The old's passed away. The new has come. If you're in Christ, you're no longer what you were by nature. You were born a sinful person. And as that sinful person, you were separated from God. Here's Adam and Eve in the garden in the beginning. They had fellowship with God. No disruption of that. They didn't even realize they didn't have clothes on. They were so close to God, just covered by His glory. No shame. Nothing to separate them from God. And God says, I don't want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and what? Evil. Man, what made you know evil? It kills him. So they were deceived by the devil, so they ate the tree, and then the fellowship with God was broken. And that is, put a period at the end of that sentence. Because there's no way, like Piper, she could not find her way back to heaven. She didn't have, we're blind, dead, and enemies of God. We're blind. We can't see the spiritual truth of who God is and His love for us. Even if we did, we're dead. We couldn't get a move toward it. And even if we were alive, when we're not, we were not. We hated God. We were born that way. Everybody is. But God found a way to find us and tell us of His great love and His mercy. And then we are reconnected with God. We're children of God. You can read your Bible. Just go to the introduction of all of Paul's epistles. You'll never find Paul ever saying, to all the sinners in Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi. He always says what? To all the... Okay, let's say it out loud. I'm a saint. Say it with me. I am a saint. Let's say it again. I am a saint. That's not being arrogant. That's the truth. Not by my effort. That's what I read before. It's not by my effort or desire. I didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm lost as a skunk. I think I need to find God. Never happened. God entered this world to find me. He crossed the universe to find me. That's the incarnation. God became a man for the purpose of finding humankind and offering them by His mercy and His grace a restored relationship with Him that's based upon His work, His resurrection, and His authority. And so He tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and He'll flee from you. When I think about this, I think there's a verse in 1 Corinthians. Let me read that for you. This is 1 Corinthians 10, first several verses. For I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they were all passed through the sea and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. For all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That was what we read in the Old Testament lesson. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert, which means they came out of the Red Sea, but they didn't stay safe. And so Lutherans don't believe once baptized, always saved. Hey, God did everything to make you His own. But if you turn around and run from that and walk away from it, you can't just lose it, though. It's not like, oh, darn, where'd my relationship with Jesus go? You don't lose it. You can't lose it. And nobody can take you out of the devil's hand. Nobody. Nobody can. All authority and all power is His, right? So nothing can touch you. But it says, be careful. Don't walk that way. That's not good. Don't do that. And so Paul writes epistles, letters to congregations, warning them about going off after. What did Israel do? They worshiped God. They were fine. God took care of them. Then they start going after other gods, and then they get in trouble. Time and again, they did that. It's almost prophetically. Yeah, sometimes we do that. Let me take you back to Egypt. How many of you saw one of those movies where Moses brings the children of Israel out of Egypt? Ten Commandments? Any of you seen them? Yeah, those over the years? Those were classic ones. We should watch them every year, sometime year, I know. Charlton Heston. They go down to Egypt, and they are slaves in a dark land. That's the symbol of being under the devil's power and being separated from God. Okay? So God sends a deliverer, and Moses is a type of Jesus. He goes, he says, I'm going to send you there, and you're going to bring my people out into a land of promise. Okay? So Moses goes down there, and there's this battle that goes on. And how many of the plagues does Pharaoh win, and how many does God win? God wins them all, right? All authority, right? Each of those plagues was targeting one of the gods of Egypt. So during about a year's time, and in the beginning, though, God cut the Nile River, which one of their gods cut his throat, and the Nile turns to blood, you know. And Pharaoh makes it harder on the people, and the people start saying, this isn't going well. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is safe, but it is not easy. It is safe because He is sufficient. All authority is His, but it's not easy. Sometimes life leaves treadmarks right up your back. That happens. But they come out and it says God caused them to wander in the wilderness. Now, if this is the Sinai Peninsula, we usually call it the Sinai Peninsula because we say Mount Sinai is on that little peninsula. Probably not. That was called the wilderness. And when they came out, God caused them to wander. And right down here is the Aqaba, the water. There's a place there where it's kind of narrow and kind of shallow. It's likely, I think, the place where they crossed over. But they're in this, here comes this river down through mountains over here, and they come, there's water out there, and they can't get across that. Here comes Pharaoh behind them. They're trapped, right? And they start panicking. God says, Moses, hold out your staff. So Moses, the staff that represented God's authority, he held it out there over the water. This pillar of cloud by day and fire by night that was leading him, it moved around behind him. So Pharaoh couldn't see what was going on. And all night the wind blew. The next morning, the water would open up and the pathway was dry and Israel went through it. Hallelujah. And then God lifted the cloud. And Pharaoh sees, oh, a highway through the water. I'm going to go get them and bring them back and make them slaves again. That was his plan, right? And this is his elite crew. It's all his chariots. They go into that and God caused confusion. I mean, chariot wheels start coming off and horses start bucking. Whatever went on, I don't know. But here comes the water. And the very same water that had opened up and brought Israel to safety was the same water that destroyed Pharaoh's ability to take them back and make them slaves again. You got the picture? Okay. Now, how old did you have to be to go through the water? How wet did you get? We live in a Bible Belt culture in the South where a lot of people do not believe in infant baptism. True story. I used to hang out with five pastors of a different denomination. We get there every week. We prayed for a church in the city. And we're going on an outing, a weekend retreat. And when they found out that I baptized babies, they accused me of the reason why many people are going to hell. Do you have any idea why they would think that? Because they've seen some churches that baptize people and they grow up and they leave the faith and leave the church and whatever else. So they thought nothing happened in baptism. Hey, did the Red Sea open up? Yes. Did they go through? Yes. Did they get wet? No. I mean, they weren't submerged. And if you had a little baby, you didn't save the baby. You want to go through? You carried the baby with you. Now, for the teenager, you might say, come on, son. You know, that's Pharaoh back there. You stay here, he's going to take you back to Egypt. You want to do that? Why don't you come with us? So you might have somebody in age where you'd have to talk with them a little bit. But if you're an adult, and there's Pharaoh, and there's freedom, you had to make a choice. You could have stayed. You could have stayed. You could go back to Egypt, slavery. Some people hear the grace of God, get the invitation from God, and turn and run. I don't understand that. I mean, if it's by grace you're saved through faith and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, so no man can brag about it, I don't know why you want to turn that one down. But some people have. Some people do. But when you receive it, it's not about what you're able to accomplish. It's about what God did. So baptism is God's action. Would you turn to, if you got it, there's a Bible in the pew there, and you can turn, I looked it up, page 942. Grab your Bible, because I want you to look at something with me here. This is Romans 6. This is where Paul makes a clear statement about baptism. And I want you to keep the picture of the Exodus coming safely through the water. I want you to keep that in your mind as we read this, okay? This is Romans chapter 6, page 942. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so the grace might increase? This is the deal. Somebody said, okay, if I sin, God's grace is sufficient and covers my sin. So God's grace comes to me. So if I sin a whole lot more, then I got a whole lot more grace, right? That's the deception of the enemy. So he says, by no means, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When you're baptized, you're joined with Jesus in his death. Now, what do you do with dead people? What do you do with dead people? You bury him. Right. Okay. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might have a new life, live a new life. So you died, you're buried, and when you come up out of the water, you have a different life. It's a life that God gives you by grace. It's his great mercy. And then he continues, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be also united with him in his resurrection, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so as to obey its evil desires. Sin shall not be your master, because he brought it to death. So Jesus, in our baptism, takes away the power of the enemy to re-enslave us as a sinner that identifies who we are. Now, we still sin. But when we accept Christ, when we're baptized, when we're rejoined to God, we are a new creation. We are a saint. We are a child of God. So this is my confession. I am a child of God who is becoming more and more Christ-like. Do I still sin? Do I still struggle? Yes, I do. You can ask my wife. And she won't lie. I still struggle with things. I mean, even at my age, I still do. I'm not there yet. I'm not a finished. But who I am has become more and more clear to me as I've gotten older. Who I am is a child of God. I'm seated with him in the heavenly realm. I am a new creation because of what God has done for me. The sinner that I was died. One time I was with a bunch of pastors who are mostly Baptists, and they were talking about the date of their conversion. And what was my date? And I said, March 23, 1945. And I could see someone start doing the math in their head, trying to figure out how old that was. That was my baptismal day. That's the day that I was joined with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. That gave me life. And He's been faithful to me all of my life. I've never known a day where I didn't somehow know, even as a child, that I was His and that He loved me. One of the first songs you sing, Jesus loves me this time. I learned that early on. That was a confession. I knew that. Some of you have, how many of you are baptized as babies here? Any of you? Yeah. In a crowd like this, most of us probably were. Yeah. There's a verse in, Colossians chapter 2. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is ahead over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the old sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but by the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. I wanted to preach on baptism this morning because this morning we're going to have a baptism. So Amanda and Brody and Carol and Larry, would you come up, please? Then you just stand right here, close enough. I grew up with sponsors, but sometimes we use the word godparents. And in when I was young, if something happened to the parents of a child, often the godparents became the legal guardians. That was just kind of understood, even though it wasn't written down. Sponsors, though, aren't a way of saying, hey, I'm going to be your authority or you're the one taking care of you if something happened necessarily. But it is one said, you know, I care about you and I'm going to be kind of encouraging you and cheering you on and encouraging you to walk the faith that you have received, that you confess. And I'm going to just read something right quick here. There's a guy named Martin Luther who was terrified of God. He'd read about the righteousness of Christ, and he knew he wasn't. And he would go to confession sometimes 3 hours a day, confess his sins. On the way back, he'd forget something. He'd come back again. And then one day it says his Türmer Leibniz, in German, means his towering experience, whether he was actually physically in a tower or a castle, we don't know, but he just was caught up in heaven when he realized that the righteousness of Christ is what we receive when we receive Jesus. We receive His righteousness, and that transformed his life. There's a lot of people who mistakenly think that to be a good Christian, you need to focus on trying not to sin. I don't know if any of you think that. I'm going to encourage you, give it up. You won't be successful trying to not sin. You become successful when you look at who Jesus is and turn to Him and trust Him and admit to Him when you mess up, yes. But you'll never become a strong Christian by trying not to mess up. It isn't about messing up. That's what the cross is about. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says. So on that cross, everything wrong with me died there, along with me, in Him, in His death and resurrection. So, in almost any baptismal service, there will be a couple questions. It says about the devil, which means his will and his ways. Do you renounce the devil, his work, and all his ways? So answer, I do. So, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? So answer, I do. I do. Good. Let me just have a prayer here. Almighty God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, You have given us life in the water, a new birth of the Spirit. You forgive us all of our sins, and you promise us your grace and your strength to carry us through everything. And so often at a baptism we have a little white garment. You see this? This represents what? Christ's righteousness, right? Same thing, white garment. So Brody, I give you this white garment as a symbol that of the righteousness of Christ that covers you. Okay. Jesus talked about being the light of the world. Now, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth and says, let there be light. And there was light. There was not sun, moon, or stars. There was just light. God's presence is light. In the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, there wasn't any candle in there. There was the light, the Shekinah glory of God. But in the holy place, there was this lampstand. That was physical light. That's light in this world. Jesus is the light in this world. And so light in a Christian setting always represents the presence of God. If I can get that to be lit. Yeah. Yeah. And that little symbol there is the symbol of, that's the first two letters of the name Christ. That's what that, if you ever see that symbol, looks like a big P with an X on it. That's a Cairo. That's the first two letters of the name Christ. And above it is, here's yours, Brody. And above it is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus come out of the water, same Holy Spirit that came down upon Jesus and anointed him with power in his baptism. That same Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that joins us with Jesus in his death and joins us with Jesus in his resurrection. And it's kind of a symbol, this is life, Christ in you, it's kind of a symbol of them helping, encouraging. Why don't you hand those two to Larry and Carol? And, yeah. Okay. Come here, Brody. You can lean over the baptismal font here, and I'll scoop up some. That's right, just put your stoop over here. Brody, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get out your eyes a little bit. There you go. Amanda? Amanda, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let you blot it so I can get your makeup off. God has done work in them to make us part of His body. Now, with my right hand, I can catch marbles. With my left hand, I'm not quite so good because I'm missing a few. But the Bible talks about the body of Christ with the strength with which each joint supplies. These are missing over here, so I don't do so well with that. But where we're rightly joined to Jesus, we'll be rightly joined to each other. So, Amanda, I want to meet your brother in Christ, and Brody, I want you to meet your sister in Christ. And I would want to introduce you to them to you as your brother and sister in Christ as well. Can you receive them? And Larry and Carol have been connected with them and kind of encouraging them. And when the topic came up of baptism, says, all right. So we had a good afternoon over there at their house and talked about baptism. And so Larry and Carolyn are going to be special to them as well. They have been, but they will continue. That's their promise. And do you understand that that's God's gift and privilege to you? So answer, we do. Good. Thank you so much for that. You may be seated. Yes. Yeah, you can blow it out.
I'll let Brody do it.
Let Brody do it. And write it down and maybe light it again on your... and Steve, the elder of the church here, has some gifts for you. Light it on the anniversary of your baptism then.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now we can sing the offertory, Peggy.
On behalf of the congregation, we'd like to bring these gifts to commemorate your baptism. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. For all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, you have brought us to dwell in your house and called us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Receive our praise and hear our prayers that we would leave this place satisfied with your living water. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, let you led your ancient people by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Lead us through the wilderness of this world by the hand of faithful pastors, that we would be refreshed by the living water flowing from the stricken side of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you have made us righteous through Jesus Christ and made peace with us by your cross. Lead us to embrace our suffering in faith as they shape us in his image and prepare us to behold your glory in heaven. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you appointed your Son to suffer on our behalf that we would rejoice in your hope of glory. Make all Christian fathers to stand in your grace that they would live faithfully for the sake of their families and urge them always towards eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, bless the nations of the world that both citizens and authorities would seek justice, peace, and the common good of all. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, help the sick and suffering, especially those who desire our prayers. And Lord, you know who those are, and we have many of them that we've carried in our hearts. Some are listed in the bulletin. Lord, help us to lift them up and not forget them. Surround them with your love in Christ, and according to your gracious will, heal them. Comfort all those who mourn, and fill their hearts with a certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, grant us safe haven at your altar, that we who bear the weight of this world and its sorrows would always long for your courts and blessing you have prepared for those who sing your praise. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, to you all hearts are open and all sins are known. Strengthen our hearts by your grace, that we who daily sin much would make confession boldly and then joyfully receive your precious word of absolution. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is true and right so to do.
It truly is meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places thank you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared to joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, this cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." May the Lord's peace always be with you. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting in his peace. Take and drink. May this true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you and keep you in that true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Welcome, Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he strengthen and preserve, keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace then. Amen. Broken for you. Take and eat the body of Jesus broken for you. Take and eat the body of Jesus broken for you. Take and drink Jesus' blood poured out for you. Take and drink the blood of Jesus. Take and drink. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you and keep you in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
She can't come up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Certainly. Take and eat the Lord's body broken for you. Take and drink the blood of Jesus poured out for you. Some people have asked the question, how can bread and wine be body and blood? My answer is, how can God become a man? Oops, almost walked in there. Some things we can see, most we don't. The God that created the universe, we don't see him, except in one another, and sometimes in the sunrise. Sometimes the daily things of life. So it's the simple things of life and where he reveals himself to us. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. His mercy endureth forever. So let's pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Thank you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.